Praise the Lord. It's time for Sunday school. Praise God for this opportunity to be here. Praise God for just a new life in Him this morning. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord God, I thank you for this word that you have given me. Lord God, I thank you, Father, for this ram of people that you've allowed to be placed in your service, Lord God. Lord God, I ask that you come in, Lord Jesus, that you give a ram of word to your people, Lord God, that they will leave out, blessed and more fulfilled in you, Lord Jesus. Let them see not me, Lord God, but let them see you, Lord Jesus. Have me behind the cross, Lord Jesus, and let your word go forth in your mighty and precious Son, Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, y'all. Praise the Lord. He had given me a while back peace in Jesus. Peace in Jesus. How many of you know that's a comforting thing? Peace in Jesus. We're going to start out in John 14 and 27. I'm coming from the New King James Version. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then I wanted to see what it said out of the NLT. That's the version I really like to come out of. John 14, 27 out of the NLT. It reads, I am leaving you with a gift of peace, of mind, heart, and the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Then he took me to Isaiah 26 and 3. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. In both of these versions, they are talking about the same thing, God's peace. The peace is so special and so precious that even Jesus tells us it's a gift. A gift. Now, what is a gift? What is a gift? A gift is something that someone hands you without wanting something in return. Yes, ma'am. God is telling us a peace of mind and heart are hard to come by on your own. This type of peace can only come from the Lord. Psalms 51 and 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Proverbs 3 and 3. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. God is wanting us to understand about his peace, not the world's peace. See, there's two different pieces. You have the world's peace, and then you have God's peace. You see, the world's peace will give you a fake peace. It's fake. It's not real. It's just, it's a blind. It's like you got blinders on your eyes, you know. And it said the world's peace always wants something in return. And that something is in return is going to cost you more than you are willing to give out or give up. It may be your family, your job, your friends, your freedom. It could even call for your very life. It's that peace that the world wants to give you. It's that peace that says, oh, I can give you this house. I can give you these cars. I can give you that man. I can give you that woman. I can give it to you. But you know what? It's only temporary. You're not going to be able to keep it. It will not last. It will fade away. But God says that my gift of peace, it's free. And not only is it free, you can just receive it. All he says, receive his joy, receive his love, receive the peace, receive the freedom that can only come from Jesus and the words that he promised us. This peace is free, y'all. You don't have to go out and obtain it. You don't have to go out and do anything to get it. He says, peace I leave with you. I'm giving it to you. It's a gift. Just receive it. I'm going to give that baby a Christmas gift. I don't need anything in return. I just want to give it to her because why? He loves us. And that's why he said, I want to give you this gift because I love you. And I have a purpose for your life. I have a plan for your life. He says, don't question it. Or put your own idea on it. Sometimes we want to question everything God tells us. We want to question everything. Is this really what you want me to do? Is this really the way you want me to go? Is this peace really free? Is this really God you? He said, don't question it. Just receive it and believe that it is me that is giving it to you. Believe in the peace of God, the peace of mind, and the gift that he gives you, because your mind and your heart are one. So you got to believe in your heart, and then you can believe in your mind to where, you know, it's God that's giving you everything that you are asking for. In John 16 and 33, I have told you these, so in me, you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. He lets us know, even though I'm giving you this gift of peace, you're still going to have trouble. I'm letting you know, but take heart. I have overcome the world. He said, even though I'm telling you everything that you're going to go through, you're going to have trouble, you're going to go through circumstances, things are going to happen, but don't worry about it. I've already been through it, and I overcame it. So if I overcame it, you can overcome it. All you had to do was stay in me. This is why it is so important for us to trust in the faith in Jesus, the one who came and overcame it all. One of the many gifts he left us with was peace, peace of mind and heart, that the world can't give nor can it take away. And that's that peace. When he gives it to you, you know, you hold on to it. It's so precious. You don't want anything to shake it. You don't want anything to rattle it because the enemy wants you to rattle your peace. He wants you to rattle your mind, because if he can rattle your peace, then he can take over your mind, because that's one and the same. You know, in John 14 and 27, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Now, this is Jesus talking. He says, not as the world giveth, but I give it unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This peace is so precious that even Jesus said, this is my peace. I'm giving it to you myself. I'm giving it to you. I'm not asking for this person over here to give it to you. This is my peace. I have this peace upon me. It rests upon my shoulders, and I want to give it to you. Not what the world will give you, but it's my peace I want you to have. Because I know the troubles you have faced, the troubles you are facing, and the troubles you will face. You're going to need the peace and the peace for your heart, your mind, your spirit, your soul, in order to make it through this life. If Jesus had to have this peace I'm talking about, what do you think that you or I are going to have to go through? What do you think we're going to have? We're going to have this peace to go through. You're not going to be able to make it through this world without a peace of mind, a peace of soul, a peace of heart, because the enemy wants what? One thing he wants to do is attack your mind, take control of your mind, because if he can take control of your mind, he can twist everything else in your sight. You know, you're seeing it. God's showing you one thing, but the enemy is showing you another thing. The enemy is showing you what is all pretty and what is temporary. But God just wants to show you something that's going to last. My peace is going to last. It's going to transcend time. You don't have to worry about it. It's going to go over time. Hit the peace that God has for you. So, and Jesus had that peace, and he said, I want to give you that peace because why? I love you, and I want you to have it. I want you to be able to take it, and I know you'll take care of it. In Philippians 4, 6 through 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So many times people go into prayer and they just go into prayer. Lord, I want this. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. But you're not going into prayer with the expectation that he will do just what he said he's going to do. You have to go into expectation and believe when you get down on your knees that he is going to perform and he is going to give you everything that you're asking for. He said, you come believing with a faith that I am, and I am who I say I am, and I will do what it is I need to do in your life. I will perform those works and those things that you are asking for me. But he said, make your request be made known. Make your election sure known unto God. Don't be scared when you go to him. Don't be nervous. He said, don't be anxious. So that means don't be nervous. He's your heavenly father. He said, come into me, ask me, and see, won't I give you the rivers of this just flowing, overflowing, just abundance for your life. See, won't I give it to you? But come to me.
boldly, he said, come to the throne and you will obtain mercy when you come to me. You will obtain my grace. You will obtain my strength. You will obtain everything I have for you, but you got to come boldly to me. Don't come all nervous. Don't come all anxious. Don't come all timid. You come to me just like I come to you. You come to me boldly and see, won't I boldly give you everything that you're asking for? And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. When I was looking up transcend, I was like, transcending? What, Lord, what are you talking about? He says, I'm going to go beyond. He said, I'm going to go beyond the range. I'm going to go beyond the limits. I'm going to go to where you can't go, but I'm going to take you there as long as you stay connected to me. I will take you above and beyond everything that you're trying to go to. Because you can't do this without me. So you can't do this without my peace. You can't do this without my mind. You cannot do this without me holding your hand and taking you through it. He said, I'm going to transcend that. I'm going to transcend to where I'm going to take you above and beyond the limits of what your mind can even think or comprehend. I said, wow, that is awesome. Transcend my mind. Take me to a place to where I don't have to worry. Take me to a place to where I can leap, I can run, I can soar, I can go anywhere he wants me to go. I can do it because why? He is leading and guiding me, and I've got the peace of mind of him to want to do it and want to be held in his will and in his way. I said, wow, God, you are just so awesome. And he said, but what happens? This is what got me. He said, but what happens when your peace that you're requesting, what happens when you're asking and that asking whatever you have asked for doesn't come the way you want it or the way you like it? What do you do? What do you do? He asked me that question. I said, well, I guess I'm just going to stand, God. That's what I'm going to do. He said, do you just still stand? Do you stand in the peace that I've given you? Do you stand still and see the salvation of me pass you by? Do you stand still and still trust me with all your might? Do you trust me that I am still able, even though you don't like what I say, you don't like what they say, but it is what it is? Are you still going to just stand still and see me work? Yes, I'm going to just stand still and see you work. I may not like what they tell me. I may not like how it appears. I may not like what I'm hearing and what I'm visibly seeing. But he said, stand still and see my salvation just pass you by. Meaning all you got to do is just stand still and the peace of God will pass you by. His presence will pass you by. What he's talking to you will pass you by. You don't have to do nothing but stand still. Be still. Be still. Be still. And he said, okay, you be still. And not only that, and he said, let me tell you from experience, keeping still will keep you in peace. When you're standing still, you will stay in that perfect peace because it's that perfect peace that's going to keep your mind. And it's going to keep your mind. And that peace is what you've been proclaiming the whole time. So therefore, now it comes a time you're going to have to stand. Sometimes everything we've been proclaiming, we've been saying we're going to do, and we're saying God is doing this, and God is, I am for God, and God I live, and for God I die. Sometimes he will bring that to a test. Are you really going to stand for me? Are you really going to just say, huh, the doctor done said this, huh? Okay. But this is what man says. The Bible says, whose report are you going to believe? So if he's saying whose report are you going to believe, then I'm going to stand on the report of the Lord because of the report of the Lord, it says it's victory. He says, I shall live and not die and proclaim all the works that proclaimed unto him. I shall walk and not faint. I shall run and not get weary. He said, stand and see my salvation pass you by. So when you're standing, just know that God is standing with you. We have to stand in firm salvation in Jesus Christ. If God brought it to us, don't you think he's surely capable to take us through it? Take us through it? Even though it came to us, don't you think he can just take us through it? We may not like the road we got to travel on. We may not like the obstacles that we're going to have to bob and weave through, but he can take us through it. And standing in his peace is the way you're going to make it through. Now, this peace, this faith, this belief, it's not easy to come by. I'm not going to lie. It's not easy to come by. But is it worth it? Yes. It's worth it. The hard times, is it worth it? Yes, it is. Because he said we will obtain a crown one day if you stand still. Stand still in him. And the thing about I loved about this is if Jesus had to go through and knowing this wasn't going to be an easy thing even for him, God took me to Luke 22 and 42. And it talked about, I went through two different versions because I like the New King James Version and the NLT. And Luke 22 and 42 in New King James, it said, "Father, if it be your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours." And the NLT, it said, "Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I will, but not my will, but your will be done. Not mine, but yours." I love that because Jesus, our Savior, he was going through it in the Garden of Gethsemane. No, he already knew what he was going to have to face because I really, in my mind, I like to think before he even left heaven, God sat him down and said, "Look, son, this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to go down here and deal with these unruly people. They're not going to want to listen. Some are going to follow you. Some are going to fall aside. But what I want you to do is go back down there and to redeem them unto me." So he knew what he was going to have to do. He knew the suffering that he was going to take. But one thing people don't understand, Jesus was 100% God, but he was still 100% man when he was here. So therefore, he felt every pain. He felt every sorrow. He felt every hurt. He knew. He felt the emotions and the agony and the distress. He knew what he was going to have to go through. So therefore, he went to the Father and he said, and this is us. Sometimes I want to think, Jesus, did you say Father, or did you do like some girls do with dads? Daddy, Daddy, do I really have to go through this? Daddy, please, if you see any other way, can you take the cup from me? Take the cup of suffering from me. Don't let it even pass my way. Don't even let me have to drink from it. But Jesus was so awesome because he said, "Okay, let me put on my coat. Let me button up my shirt. Let me get my tie fixed." You know how me and Dude get ready for church? You know, put my suit on, do my tie, get myself together. Because I'm going to have to walk this walk. I'm going to have to walk that journey. I'm going to have to go like these steps. I'm going to have to go up these steps. He had to go up Calvary's Hill. He had to get ready. He had to be encouraged. And during that time, during that suffering, because the Bible says that when Jesus was down there praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was sweating as he prayed, like blood was dripping from his head. Now, if you're praying that hard and that strenuous and you know the suffering that you're getting ready to go through, that you're like bubbles of blood are popping down off of your forehead, you're intensely praying for this cup not to come your way. You really want to be delivered. You want to be set free. But he said, nevertheless, Lord, I will do your will, God. I will do your will, Father. And now I say, he says, Father, because he knows who is in charge. He knows who has sent him, who has gave him this mandate, who has told him, yes, son, you do this because there is a reward waiting on you. There is a reward because when you finish out what I am calling you to finish, I'm going to give you all power and strength on heaven and earth to where you don't have to worry about nothing. I'm going to give it to you. But you got to walk up this walk. You got to go through this. And don't worry, because my peace that I placed in you before you left heaven, I crowned you with peace. I clothed you. I put it all upon you to where all you had to do is just say, "I'm ready." Come on. Come on. Judas, come on. Give me the kiss. I'm ready. I'm ready. Sometimes that's what we got to be. We got to be ready when it comes. That's why the Bible says, gird yourself up in the word of God. Know what you're saying. because when the obstacles come your way, you want a word to put up on that thing to where the Bible says at the name of Jesus, the enemies, the demons, they have to flee at the name of Jesus. But you just can't just casually say, oh, Jesus, remove this demonic person from me. Jesus, I just don't know. Now, in the name of Jesus, I proclaim every works that Lord Jesus has proclaimed over my life that I will complete it. I will go through and I won't have to worry about it. I know that God, you have called me for such a time as this, and I will stand still and I will wait for you to take me through. And I'm standing here and I'm waiting on you, Lord God. And I know you're going to strengthen me. You're going to encourage me. You're going to lift me up. You're going to raise me up into higher heights and deeper depths in you, Lord God. And in the name of Jesus, I bind up everything that's trying to come up against me. That's the strength that we're supposed to have, and that's the peace of mind that you're supposed to have in order to be able to say those things. Because without the peace of mind, how are you going to know how to have your words together? Because the enemy wants to confuse you. That's his job. So that's why I say peace in the word. That's where you find your peace. That's where you find your strength. That's where you find your encouragement. So if our Savior had to obtain this peace to go through this life down here, then what do you think we gonna have to do? Don't you think we're gonna have to have that peace? We're gonna have to have that strength. We're gonna have to have that walk that he had walked. We're gonna have to have that. That's why you and I have to stay in the Word of God for the encouragement of our strength, is for our very well-being in Christ Jesus. And stay around people whom have the same mindset as God. The same mindset. You can't be around wishy-washy people and walk this walk and keep your mind in peace. Because when the Bible says separate yourself, that means separate yourself from everything that is unholy, everything that's unclean, everything that's trying to pull you away from the very presence and the very essence of God. Because if you don't, it's going to gravitate and it's going to pull you. Because if you've not gotten any strength out of the Word of God, what do you think is going to hold you when those times come? You got to have the strength from the Word of God. And that's on a daily basis. That's not just on Sunday morning. That's every day. That's throughout the day. Because he's coming throughout the day. It's not one time. Oh, I wake up and then, no. It's throughout the day. He wants you every day, throughout the day, 365 days in a year, 7 days a week. He wants you every day. And that's why we have to have the mind of Christ. And in Philippians 2 and 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's the New King James, NLT. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. The same attitude. What do you think his attitude was? It wasn't a give up attitude. It wasn't a failure attitude. It was a conquering attitude. It was a I can do this attitude. I have the strength of Almighty God resonating through my bones. I can do this. I know I can do. I can walk through this valley and I can come out on the other side. I know I can speak to those dry bones and they will live and they will raise up a mighty army within me and go out here and conquer everything that is supposed to conquer. I know that. But you got to have the same mind. You got to have the same attitude. You got to have the same desire. You got to have the same belief and strength in God to know that, hey, you can make it with Christ Jesus. The Bible says we are to be Christ-like. I like that part when he says you got to be Christ-like. So does that mean that we're going to make mistakes? That we're not going to make mistakes? Sure, we're going to make some mistakes. But God is so awesome because he said, I give you an advocate. He took me to 1 John 2 and 1. It says, dear children, I am writing this to you so that we will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. Now, that was awesome. Now, just because we have an advocate, that don't give you a pass or a license to go out here and sin. He said, if you sin. If means you might. you may get messed up. But don't be so discouraged. Don't let the enemy say that you cannot go back to the Father and get that right. Because that's what the enemy wants you to do. If you mess up, if you get all tangled up and tied up into something that you can't get out of, or you feel like you can't get out, that's a lie, because you have an advocate with the Father. All you have to do is just go to him boldly. And the Bible says you will obtain mercy, like I said before. But you got to be boldly and go to him and confess your mistakes. Confess what you did. Because he already knows, but you got to tell him. You got to tell him, hey, Jesus, I messed up on that. I messed up. But I need your forgiveness. I need you to take it to the Father to where I can get that advocate. I can activate it, you know. It was a cartoon years ago. I'm older. It was a cartoon. I don't know if anybody remembers. It was called the Wonder Twins. I don't know if you remember. But they had these two rings. And as soon as the rings ignited, it was like dunamis power. They could conquer anything. That's kind of like that advocate. When you go to the Father and you link up with him and you tell him your mistakes and you let him know, Father, I've sinned against heaven and earth. That's just like the prodigal son. That's what he did when he went back running to his father. He said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and earth. But can I come back? Make me one of your hired slaves. I mean, he said, come on home, come on back. And that's what the Father does. He willingly opens us back. You admitted it. You repented. Come on home. Don't stay out there. That's the only shame, is when you stay out. Come on back home. Come on back in. In Psalms 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In 2 Corinthians 13:11, it says, Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words. Be joyful, encouraging each other's, live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. Now, Paul is writing this. And it just catches my mind so much when I read different things that Paul writes. This is a man before his Damascus experience, hated Jesus, hated the church, couldn't stand him. Well, coming out and to kill him, just kill him, line him up and kill him, stone him. Yeah, stalking him, that's right. But this is a man who had that Damascus experience. Sometimes I think every last one of us need a Damascus experience. Sometimes we need to go back. The Bible says sometimes you got to go back and do your first work server over. So, you know, so a Damascus experience would be, I know I've done wrong, but I know I've got that peace that keeps my mind in check to say, okay, let me go get that thing right. Let me get it right before the Father. He said, I can come to him boldly and I can get it and I can get my peace back. I can get my joy back. I can get my love back. I can get back everything that the enemy stole from me. I can get it back. But you got to come to him. And when I think about Paul, after his Damascus experience, when he went from Saul to Paul, he never looked back on his life. He never looked back. He kept going forward and kept proclaiming the gospel of peace and joy and love and how much Jesus loves you and how much he wants you and how much he wants you to be able to make it in this life. That's what always got me about Paul. He was always proclaiming Jesus. He was always lifting him up. He was always, you know, putting him on a high pedestal because he understood where he was. And that's us. Sometimes we need to understand where we are in God to where we don't have a problem saying hallelujah. We don't have a problem saying thank you, Jesus. We don't have a problem giving him the glory that he deserves out of our lives because we know where we came from. Now, we ain't supposed to go back there, but you're supposed to keep on pressing towards the mark and the high calling of Christ Jesus. In Romans 15:13, I'm almost done, 15:13, may God hope fill, excuse me, I'm sorry, Romans 15:13, may God of hope fill you with joy, peace, believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may have abundant hope. In Psalms 31:24, be strong and let your heart take courage, all of you who wait for the Lord. And this is my jam here at the end. It's Jeremiah 29 and 11. It says, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, the Lord." This is the Lord saying, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." In all these scriptures, Jesus wants us to know that his plan and plans for our life are for good, hope, peace, joy, the abundance of life. Find your peace in whom will never leave you nor forsake you. He will always answer you and he will always come through for you. But find your peace in Jesus. Does anybody have any questions or any thoughts? Because that is all that God has given me. But find your peace in Jesus. In everything that you go through, know that your peace God's peace surpasses all understanding. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's coming up ahead of you or anything, know that the peace of God will take you through. All you have to do is give it to him and stay in him, and he will stay in you. The Bible says abide in him, and he will abide in you.